Today we wish to consider a very uplifting remark made by the Apostle John. And John said, I have no greater joy to have my children in the truth. And I feel that way personally. Even if John felt that way, I feel that way because my mother and father felt that way. They had 10 children, and all 10 of us were in the truth. And our children, our daughter Karen, our daughter Marjorie, and our son Michael, were in the truth. And they were born, you say they are not born in the truth, but they were born in a truth family, just like I was. And so we appreciate the Heavenly Father that He anointed our parents with the truth. And that was a great joy to our parents when their 10 children all were in the truth. And my mother, I have to digress a little bit. My mother was the type, she rejoiced so much in the truth, the Word of God, that the Heavenly Father called him out of the Russian Orthodox Church. And when she heard the truth, and she was only 13 years old when she heard the truth, and she believed it right then and there, never doubted it the rest of her life. She had 10 children, and all of them were in the truth and walked faithfully. There are no 10 of us left now, but at one time there was. And she was just like a mother hen. When all her children were around, she just sang hymns and sang all the time, and she was just as happy as a person could be and rejoicing with her children. And I'm sure many of you know what I'm talking about because you've had the same experience. You know, we gain many lessons, many words of strength and encouragement from the words of the writings of the dear apostles. Today we wish to consider a very uplifting remark made by John, the Apostle John. I have no greater joy to have my children in the truth. 3 John, verse 4. And I feel the same way. Undoubtedly, John was directly encouraged by the tidings, things, and was hearing about the things he was hearing about to the brethren. And he wanted the brethren to know that he truly appreciated their great zeal and determination to follow the Lord. And when I read that statement, there's a brother that comes to my mind every time I read it. And that's Brother George Wilson. You knew Brother George Wilson, the frank and earnest. And Brother George Wilson was very, very close to my parents. He would come visit, they would come and visit with my parents all the time. Now that's quite unique when you think of it. My parents could talk English. But they could talk Russian, too. They could talk Slovak. And so it, to me, it was kind of strange that Brother George Wilson, who was strictly English, would be so, come so close to my parents in the faith, in the truth, because he loved to talk the truth to my mother and dad. And he would always come there. So we appreciated it. It reminds me of what we've just said. In verse 3 of this book of John, John mentions a brother by the name of Gaius, and he writes, whom I love in the truth, Gaius. Not much more information is given about this dear brother, but each of us can truly appreciate John's encouragement to him and to all the followers of the Master. And John tells us that he greatly rejoiced to know that Gaius had accepted the glad tidings of God's word. And I always appreciated my wonderful parents. People would come. There were a lot of, in those days, like, I'm going back 60, 70 years. In those days, there used to be a lot of trains run through West Newton, Pennsylvania. And the trains would stop and all the bums would get off the plane, train and come up around looking at people's houses and get a bum a meal. And they must have spread the word around because they all come to our house. And my mother fed them all. And here she has a family of 10, and yet she's feeding these people that's coming off of freight trains. Never a doubt, never a moment of hesitation. And so she was known quite over, all over the country, because, you know, one a hobo would tell another hobo and they all would come. So that's the way it was during the Depression. I'm going back a long time. But she would feed them literal food, but she also fed them spiritual food. Food of their character. And taught them about the Word of God. And they never backed away from coming. Now the Apostle John tells us that he greatly rejoiced to know that Gaius had accepted the glad tidings of God's Word. Also that this one had the desire to meet with other brethren, that even strangers to the truth knew of the love and devotion Gaius had for God. Yes, dear brother, John knew that if one was truly embraced the Word of God, the peace of God will fill one's heart, and he will be so refreshed by this relationship to God and to the fellow brethren. In 2 John, verse 4, we read, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. According to previous verses, this letter was addressed to the elect lady and her children. Though no name is given here, we can truly appreciate the sentiment of John's meeting, and who would foot any person who was truly accepted the message of God's Word. We know, dear brethren, that the purpose of all John's writings is to encourage those who are the true followers of the Lord, and he writes, and these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. This is in 1 John, 1st chapter, 4th verse. Now John desired to stir up, to really encourage one to deeply appreciate what a blessed privilege it is to know the truth. And that's always my great joy, how my mother and father expressed the blessed privilege of knowing the truth. And there wasn't a person could come around that they didn't express the truth. Now I'm going back to pre-depression times, and even during the Depression. And yet, people came, her neighbors came, and she always preached the gospel. Somebody would knock on the door, and Mom would go and open the door, and first thing you know, she was telling them about Jesus as Savior and about the plan of God. She had that wonderful ability. Now, you know, it reminds me of these things which John writes unto you, us, that our joy might be full. That's in 1 John 1:4. And John deserved to stir up, to really encourage one to deeply appreciate what a blessed privilege it is to know the truth. We know that in the days of the apostles, there were many learned persons who tried to combine human philosophy with the sure doctrines of God's Word. This has continued even to our day. A recent news article coming from the city of appeared in the paper stated that the leading scientists and many Christian leaders have agreed to put aside their fierce differences over the origin of life. Why is that so? They have decided they will work together to solve and fight the problem of global warming, which is another complete failure as far as they are concerned. There are threats to life on Earth, and we must speak with one voice to protect it. So said these men. They got something in their head that they're going to protect the life on Earth. While these persons may have good intentions, we know they will not solve the problems that beset the human family. Our Father and the glorified Christ will solve all the problems that plague man, and there will be in that glorious kingdom. John's greatest desire was to have the believers, followers of the Master, walk in the truth. That means upholding the God's Word and His doctrines. In 2 John, verse 6, "And this is love, that we walk after the commandments." Is not this the very thing that Jesus taught His disciples? In John 14, 15th verse, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." True faith may be demonstrated by works, but even more important is one's love for God and His Word. Again, one must walk in the truth. Now, I don't know what your concept is when you say walk in the truth. What do you think that means? You must have an opinion on it. But it's not what you really think it is. It's how you live your life. How the truth is reacting in you. How the truth is the truth being expounded from you to others. Do the world, people of the world know you're walking in the truth? It's quite a big task. As a matter of fact, brethren, it affected me personally in my life. In construction, I worked as a superintendent, and I worked as a carpenter, and I had a lot of men work for me. But over time, all my men, when they saw me coming, they says, "Watch your mouth, the preacher's coming. The preacher's coming." Said I'd stop. I could hear them. That was when I could hear real good. And I told them one thing. I said, "Now wait a minute. I want you to know that I'm not your preacher. If I was your preacher, you wouldn't talk the way you do." So I gained their respect by that. I didn't run them down or anything like that. But I explained to them, "Someday you'll be sorry that the kingdom of God is going to be set up on this earth and you don't know anything about it." They never hesitated for me to preach the gospel in construction, which it really was a no-no, because you weren't allowed to mix religion in construction. I never mixed it. I just told them the straight facts, and that's it. There's no mixing there at all, because they had nothing to support themselves with. So it was a good blessing for me to be, and all the people I ever worked with, and there were hundreds of them, they all respected my faith in the Lord. In 2 John verse 6, and we read, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. Is not this the very thing that Jesus taught His disciples? In John 14th chapter 15th verse, He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. True faith may be demonstrated by works, and even more important, is one's love for God and His Word. Again, one must walk in the truth. Or one might ask, what is it meant by truth, as the Scripture states? Many times it is used in the Bible, much as we use it today. That is, it denotes the quality of honesty. It is truly opposed to things that are false. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, the 3rd verse, we read, Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. This text tells us that one should be sincere and pure in all his dealings. This is a very vital element of one's character. I believe we can take the words of John a step further. John is stressing the need to uphold certain doctrines. And in John, the 17th chapter, 17th verse, we read, Thy word is truth. You believe it? You say you believe it? Do you exercise it? If you believe you have the word of truth, and you don't exercise it, by exercising, I mean you are not preaching it. You're not telling others of it in your daily walk of life. And there's many instances in your life that you can use these words. You can use this precious word. Thy word is truth. We know that when the natural child is enrolled in a school, he must read and study, be able to come to a good and complete knowledge of the subject before him. Also, the child must pay attention to the teacher, who will aid him in learning the correct facts or methods of doing this work. So then, brethren, we know that a child of God must also pay attention to what he reads, and to the great teacher, the Heavenly Father, his Son, and his disciples, for good instruction. Is study of God's Word all that we need to be good students in the school of Christ? In 2 Timothy, 2 chapter 15th verse, says, study to show thyself approved, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, strictly dividing the word of truth. As we know, study is very important, but we must go a step further. Think about it when I give a discourse. My mind always, it's working double time. There are so many things in my life, so many experiences, that I can't help to mention them. And one of the greatest experiences of my life was my parents, my mother, my father, and how gracious the Lord was. My mother had 10 children, and she was a mother and a home builder, and she kept a home. She didn't have to leave the house to witness the truth. She didn't. The Lord brought people to our house. And the minute somebody knocked on the door, Mother was there, and they would wind up there for hours, because Mother talked the truth to them and taught them how the Word of God. And they didn't run away. As a matter of fact, many of them came back. Our neighbors come back to talk some more about the Word of God. So she raised 10 children, taught them the truth of the Word of God, and was very good. And she taught so many other people. But I believe that she was a child of God. Also, she paid attention to the things she read, and she was a great teacher. And to the Heavenly Father, she paid attention, and His Son and His disciples, for good instruction. And in study of God's Word, all that we need to do to be good students is the school of Christ. In 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, 15th verse, study to show thyself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we know, study is very important, but we must go a step further. If we learn what the will of God is, and what what is the desire of His children, we must daily strive to bring our lives into harmony with His will and His purposes. Otherwise, all our study is of no value. You can study the Word of God, but if you don't put it into use, it's not worth anything. We will not pass the test that will determine our place in the outworking of God's plan. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, 24th verse, our Lord gives us a very good illustration. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. What is the lesson of this that we get from this text? As we read further, Jesus tells us that if the builder builds a house, he wants to make sure that the foundation is sure and strong, that it will be able to withstand the storm that might come. Then he goes on to say, some may build their homes on a poor foundation, perhaps sand or such. And when a storm comes, it will fail and be unfit to live in. Now, I'm familiar with this because I was a builder all my life. And it was very important. I never lost a building, never lost a house, never lost a factory or anything. A child of God must build on very strong foundation. These are the promises. This foundation is the promises, the doctrines of God's Word. If you don't build on the Word of God, your foundation is useless. We must hold fast to these fundamental principles. We must not only know with what principles and doctrines we should build, but our daily lives should be in harmony and always in thanksgiving for the gems of truth from which we build. Yeah, it's just like when you're building a house, you have to have material. So you go and buy material. So we're building on a rock. And we have to have material to build on that rock. We're building a new life. An immortal life. And so you have to have the proper material to build that new life with, that you may attain to that building. You know, Satan, the great adversary, is still going about as a roaring lion. And he would like to see the dear children of God fall to his temptations and ideas. He's always looking for some things that will take our minds off the strong house of faith and love for the Father and his dear Son. And to be absolutely sure, The adversary is not bound. He's still loose. He's still free. He's still going about seeking whom he may devour. So it's up to us to be careful of what we, how we exercise our life daily, the things we do, the things we say, the manner in which we live our life, and how we conduct ourselves in public or out of public. You know, Satan is always looking for something that will take our minds off that strong house of faith and love for the Father and His dear Son. We call to the mind in the days of the apostles. There were some so-called teachers who stated that one must keep the law if he desired to gain life. These teachers did not realize or want to believe that Jesus fulfilled the law, that the merit of the blood secured the ransom for all. This ransom guaranteed life not only for the followers of Jesus during the gospel age, but also for all the human family when the kingdom on earth is set up. Yeah, it's already been secured. That all that are in our graves already been secured when they come forth, because the gospel will be there to guide them and teach them in the kingdom. Absolutely. Isn't that beautiful? The ransom guaranteed life not only for the followers of Jesus during the gospel age, but also the human family when the kingdom was set up on earth. The Apostle John was enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and he knew that the things that Jesus has taught them were indeed true and faithful words. This is the reason John faithfully wanted to encourage those who also accepted the precious promises and were striving to render acceptable service to God. And he reminded those of his day and all of us down to this very day that one must get rid of human beliefs and human traditions of men and walk in a way of truth. Jesus himself stated in John 14, chapter 6, verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and the light. One cannot have a more mental concept of these precious words. No one must believe with all his heart that this is the acceptable way to gain eternal life. And even believing, one still must go further. As recorded in James, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devil also believes, and he trembles. We might ask, what more must one do to be pleasing to God? Let's read Matthew, the 16th chapter, 24th verse. What must you do to be pleasing to God? One must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Jesus. The precious words from our Lord Jesus. These instructions are never to be taken lightly. One must always count the cost, because the cost can be loss of fellowship with family members, friends, and neighbors. It may mean putting aside all one's earthly ambitions and all desires for honor in order that one can serve the Lord in an acceptable manner. No one can be successful in earthly or spiritual lines if he does not apply his time, his energy, his heart, and his mind to attain the goal one wishes. All these things must be attained, applied. We must not lose sight, dear brethren, of the fact that if one has chosen to walk in the way of truth, one does still have a responsibility to take care of those who may be dependent upon him. But all one's time, talent, or energy should not, It cannot be used in these efforts. Time, profitable time, must be used for study, so that one must learn the best and most profitable path that is pleasing to God. It's not a, when you learn a pathway that you want to walk, you don't do that just to please yourself. You're doing it to please the Heavenly Father. Time profitable must be used for study, so that one must learn the best and most profitable faith path that is necessary to God, or is pleasing to God. This proper faith will lead one to have the desire to meet with others of like and precious faith. It is fellowship with those of like precious minds that will prove to be the source of the richest blessings that one may have in this present life. Fellowship. This comes from the Greek word which means partnership. And truly, if we walk in His truth, we know that this partnership is with God, His dear Son, and His dear Son, and all those who have the oneness of purpose and walk in the light. We know for certain that our Father and our Lord are the true light, for they are the source of our knowledge and our blessings. Will each of us know all the aspects and details of the true light? If you notice somebody got sight of a great opinion of himself, and his head seems to be a little too big for his body, that person has convinced himself that he's beyond others. Will each of us all know all the aspects and details of the true light? We know beyond a shadow of a doubt there are aspects and doctrines of the truth that never change. And these doctrines are the ransom for all, a heavenly kingdom and an earthly kingdom and so forth. These doctrines will never change. They are doctrines and they are solid and perfect, and there's no change to them. We have been privileged to know about the second presence of the Lord and the work of the harvest. We know that there will be a time of trouble, like spasms of birth pangs, as recorded in 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter 3rd verse. And we are not in darkness concerning this, for we are alert and have put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. We have taken great comfort and great encouragement in knowing that our Heavenly Father is at the helm, and He knows us when every precious portion of His plan will be accomplished. Yes, though we may not know every little detail concerning the working of His plan and His purposes, we know that we must continue to wait upon Him, for we are striving to walk in the truth. We can come to the throne of grace in prayer, and we know that prayer is very essential to our spiritual growth. And I venture to say boldly that we would not be here where we are today if we have not depended on prayer, and that if we haven't prayed right, we wouldn't be in the truth. It took prayer, it took looking to Jesus and His footsteps and under His robe of righteousness for you to be where you are today. If you didn't do that, you wouldn't be here. Because of this access to Him in prayer, each of us can have peace with God and thus strive daily to be less anxious about the little things, the experiences of our life, or walk in the truth. We can be on guard concerning our conduct and our responsibility to Him. We want to be pleasing to the Father because our eyes have been opened to the goodness of His love and His ways. Yes, dear brethren, we walk in the truth. because we have full faith, full trust, full confidence in His precious Word, and we always are assured of His great love for us. In turn, each of us must desire to cultivate great love for the truth that He has revealed to us. Each of us can walk separately to God as we continue to have faith in the truth and His Word, and we must not lose our love for the truth and search for new ideas, new ways to accomplish the outworking of God's plan. God knows His plan. He knows how to outwork it, and He will reveal it to you if you are following Him and following His plan. And He will reveal these steps to you as you go along. So, my dear brethren, in closing, I leave you with these words from a lovely hymn. Truth, how sacred is thy treasure. Teach us, Lord, the worth and to know this when the hope and the short the pleasure which from other sources flow. May our Heavenly Father and our dear Lord grant each of us the strength and the determination to continue to walk in the truth in this light. Be faithful in this walk, and we will see the Father and His dear Son face to face. Now, I don't know how long you've been walking in the way, in this narrow way, and I have been walking with many of you almost 80 years. As I was walking in the truth the day I was born to my mother, because her words, every word that proceeded out of her mouth come from her heart, and it was the Word of God, the truth. And so I learned the truth before I learned anything in school. I learned the truth. And it had its blessings. It also had a big experience, trial for me in school, because I disagreed with the teacher a lot of times on certain subjects when it come to the truth. When her subjects didn't harmonize with the Word of God, I disagreed. So it caused a lot of anxiety and things that took place. But the Lord overruled everything and brought me safely through. And so my prayer for you, dear brethren, that you continue to walk in this faith. And may the Lord add His blessings to all of you.